Now we're going to read together tonight in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're turning to chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to read together from verse 1. Come to the book of Psalms, follow on over, and you'll soon come to the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, why the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Why the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall feel, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. The book of Ecclesiastes is a very interesting book. It has been described by one commentator as the most mysterious book in the Bible. It was written by a wise man called Solomon, and he takes a long, hard look at life, not only his own life, particularly, but at life generally. And not only does it raise some important topics of conversation, it also comes to some very important conclusions. The book has been misunderstood by many who have read it because they have failed to see the reasoning behind Solomon's thinking. He's referred to in this book as the preacher. And if we were to look for a central theme in this book, it would be simply this: life is meaningless if it is lived without God. Life is meaningless if it is lived without God. So tonight, as we continue with our important truths for indifferent times, I want to tell you how you can get the best out of your life. The world in which we live would suggest to us that if we want to get the best out of life, then we need to get the best out of the world in which we live. That, of course, is not true. There are many today who think like that. There are many who live like that. And at the end of the day, their whole thought of life is simply eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. In other words, let's get the best out of life right now. Let's enjoy life to the full. Let's experience everything that there is to experience. And let's do it now, because we're only here for a short season. And we might as well get the best out of life, live life to the full. So let's engage ourselves as much as we can in all the pleasures of the world. That, of course, is the way that many, many people think. And they have tried the ways of the world. They have been driven by worldly pursuits and worldly pleasures. And they have discovered by now that those things, in fact, do not bring any lasting joy. Nor have they found with them any lasting satisfaction. In fact, many people have discovered an emptiness within. Despite everything that they have sought to engage themselves in, they have not only wasted their lives, but some of them have lost their own souls. The poem says this: generations come and go. From youth to age they wiser go, yet as they learn they all relate. They learned their lessons just too late. Listen to the words of our text tonight in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Coming right to the end of this book, this wise man, Solomon the preacher, says this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes concludes where the book of Proverbs begins, by reminding us of the need for every one of us to fear God. By reminding us that whoever we are and whatever age we are, and whether we're saved or not saved, the fact is that every single one of us are living in the light of eternity. Now, if we want to get the best out of life, we need to live a life that is God-centered. If we really want to get the best out of life, we need to live in the light of eternity, and we need to live life very, very carefully, for one day we are all going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. Every one of us give an account of ourselves to God. I like the words which Warren Wiersbe uses when he says this: some people are only spending their lives. Some people are only wasting their lives, while others are investing their lives for eternity. I wonder what you're doing with your life tonight. I wonder what I'm doing with my life, whether we're Christians or not. I wonder what we are doing with our lives. Are we simply wasting them, or are we investing them as far as eternity is concerned? Let me bring you to this book then for a moment and note three very simple things as Solomon speaks to our hearts. I want you to think about the preacher's concept of life. We don't have time to go back to chapter 1 and to read through it, so you'll have to take it as I turn these pages for you. But you'll note in the earlier chapters of this book, there are a number of things which the preacher reminds us of that we need to grasp. He begins his discussion in chapter 1. He's convinced that life itself is absolutely meaningless. He has great difficulty in understanding all the things that are going on around him, and he has so much difficulty in understanding the things that are happening even in his own life, because he is looking at it merely from a human perspective. He leaves God out of the picture, And so he has problems in understanding what on earth is going on. In fact, such is his confusion and concern, he asks himself the question, is life really worth the living? I know many people who ask themselves that question continually. Some people who are so down and discouraged with their problems and the burdens that they carry that sometimes they will say, tell me, Pastor, is life really worth the living? There are some tonight in the midst of tragedy and life has collapsed in around them. And they've tried their very best to do everything right in life, but sometimes they've got a kick in the teeth out of life and they ask themselves the question continually, is life really worth the living? Well, that's the question that Solomon asked himself, because for him life was just one cycle after another. He's reflecting on life. He has tried all the things that life brought to him, and they have proved to be empty and worthless. And that's why he says there's absolutely nothing new under the sun. So what did Solomon try? He tried pleasure. He had both the means and the opportunity to try anything he liked. And if you turn your thoughts to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, you will see that he had set his heart on pleasure. Now remember that the Hebrew people believed that God had made man to enjoy the blessings of his creation. No doubt Solomon believed that too. He talks about wine and laughter. And as the king, he would have been at many banquets. He would have attended great parties. He would have sought after much pleasure and all to no avail. Because when the party was over and the drums had stopped banging and whenever the music had stopped, Solomon says it's all worthless. Absolutely futile. This was a man who knew what he was talking about. He had tried it. But alas, it had been a failure. He had tried possessions. If you read this book carefully, you'll discover Solomon got involved in all kinds of great projects. Building houses, vineyards, gardens, orchards. Gathered all these things around him. Things he thought might give him fulfillment. All to no avail. He built the temple, which was one of the greatest buildings in the ancient world. He tried all kinds of work. He employed all kinds of workers. He accumulated all kinds of things. And he discovered something Jesus later taught his disciples. That a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Someone could have said that's true. He could have said, look, I set my own heart on pleasure. I tried everything that was going in my day. It was absolutely futile. I built and I built and I bought and I bought. I had absolutely everything any man could set his heart upon, and it was absolutely futile. You see, a man may accumulate everything he sets his heart on in life and still remain most miserable in his sin. That's why Jesus Christ stressed by way of warning when he said this, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? I read an obituary recently of a man who had died. He left over £3 million in his will, which for his neighbors and for his friends was a great surprise. One man who lived beside him said he didn't know much about him. He was an eccentric kind of character. Another man was asked what he thought of this man who had died, and he said, well, you know, he kept himself to himself, seldom went out. As far as I could see, he lived a rather miserable life. £3 million. And he lived a miserable life. You see, having all the possessions in the world does not guarantee happiness. He tried pleasure, he tried possessions, he tried prosperity. Listen to this in chapter 2. He accumulated so much gold and silver, it says, he had huge herds of animals, he became great, and he excelled more than all who lived in Jerusalem. And I ask you the question tonight, what did it do for him? All this pleasure that he set his heart upon, all the possessions that he gathered around him, all the prosperity at his fingertips, what did it do for Solomon? Solomon says absolutely nothing. Nothing. For him it was a meaningless exercise. For he still had no contentment, he still had no peace, and he still wasn't satisfied. Why? Because he was trying to enjoy life without God. He failed because he thought life was all about what he could experience. That's not the reason why God has created us. See, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Enjoy him. How have you got your enjoyment over the weekend? What have you been engaged in? What are the things that you've set your heart upon? What is it that the world has given to you? It has kept you out all weekend, and for a little while at least you've enjoyed some of those things. But what is it that you've set your heart upon? Because if you're living life tonight without God, you're making a great mistake. It's a futile exercise. And no matter what pleasure you derive at this present time, you will discover at the end of your journey it's worthless, it's empty, it will leave you with an empty experience and a hungry soul, and it's exactly the same for every man and woman who lives life and lives it without God. You say, how can you be sure of that? Well, because there are some of us here tonight, sadly, like Solomon, who tried the pleasure and all the things that were going, and yet can turn round and say with the words of the hymn writer, and we've been singing these words, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Where? Lord Jesus found and they. Can I ask you tonight, man or woman, are you living a life without God? Are you doing your own thing and running from one experience to another, trying to find some kind of contentment, answers to your questions, trying to find satisfactions in things that you know are not satisfying you? The truth is, they're even leading you further away from God than you are right now. Let me tell you this before you waste any more weeks and months or even years. And you waste a whole lifetime and you lose your own soul. It is a futile exercise to live life without God. That was the preacher's concept of life. But you'll note secondly here the preacher's consideration of death. When we come to this last chapter in the book, you see how that Solomon turns his thoughts from life. He begins to consider death. In fact, he begins to look at man's declining years, and he urges us to make use of the opportunities God has given to us while we're still able. Chapter 3, he reminds us there's a time to be born. There's also a time to die. Do you know tonight that you and I are on a journey? It's a journey through life, and it began in the cradle, and it's going to end in the grave. Now, it doesn't all end there. I'll explain that in a moment or two. But life as you and I know it, that's how it is. There's a time to be born, and there's also a time to die. Solomon was aware of that. He had learned from experience that life is not all that it seems. If it's not lived carefully, there is an emptiness about it. But he now comes to the conclusion that the only life worth living is a life that is lived for the glory of God. A life that is lived with God at the center of it. A life that is lived where God is given the preeminence in everything. Here in chapter 12, as he speaks about the end of the journey, he speaks about man's declining years. I'll not go into all the details that might depress some of us. But he says that life passes quickly. That's why we need to prepare to meet God. He says life can pass so quickly, we can be caught up by old age, and in old age there are other difficulties to overcome. In fact, in chapter 12, Solomon gives us a very graphic picture of old age and all that we have to look forward to. Trembling limbs. Poor eyesight, deafness, nervousness, no teeth, fear in the heart, gray hairs. All of this are part of the natural progression from the cradle to the grave. And he says, after all of that, with the decaying of the body, death. Death. Even in the midst of life, death. Even you're feeling well tonight, death. Even you've never given it a second thought, death. Solomon says that's how it ends. And that's how it ends for all of us. And he encourages us to make best use of our time, to treat life seriously and before death comes, to make sure that we're living a life that is centered on God. Have you ever thought honestly about death? Honestly. Maybe you've thought more about life than death. And all of a sudden death has come into your situation, into your family situation, into your particular situation. You found it hard to cope with, but it has made you ask a lot of questions. So it should. So it should. Because every single one of us are going the way of all the earth. And all of us, whether we appreciate it or not, are just a step from death. The question is, are you and I prepared to meet God? Some of you will say, but Pastor, I'm far too young to think about this. Why? Because Pastor, I'm just 18, 19 years of age. I'm just a young teenager. I have my whole life ahead of me. That's interesting. Because I just look back over this past few weeks and I noted the number of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who have been taken from us, who have left homes today heartbroken. Parents saying that they never thought their children would be away before them. And I understand all the sentiments behind that, but the fact is this, death comes to young and old alike. That's why Solomon says in the same book, young people, children, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Ah, but some of you are almost at the other end of the scale now. You know what I'm talking about with the hair and the sight and the limbs and all those things. And I say to you tonight, tell me, have you considered death? Your answer is, yes, I have. Pastor, I have everything in order. You have everything in order? Yes. I have my will made. I have the family looked after. I have all the things done that I need to do. Because after all, I'm not here to stay. I'm going to leave all I have behind. I'm going out into eternity. Great, but eternity where? The people you leave behind with your estate, fine. But what good is there if you make a will and leave everybody well and you go out into a lost eternity for you had no time to think about God? The best preparation you make is that you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior while you're still in time and not out in eternity. You say to me, but Pastor, hold on a moment. I have spent all my life living as I've lived. Too late for me now to think about God. Not a bit of it. But it will be too late one day when you close your eyes in death and you slip out into eternity and your family stand and they wonder whether you trusted Christ or not. It will be too late then. Friends, all these other things are important. Wills are important. Looking after your family is important. Getting rid of all you have is important. Putting it in the right hands is important. There's nothing as important tonight as your soul. There's nothing as important as you making sure that when that roll is called up yonder in heaven, that you're going to be there, and you're going to be there on the basis that you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you'd been to that cross we sang about earlier tonight, where Jesus suffered and bled and died for your sins, that you might know His forgiveness. Death. General William Nelson was a Union general during the American Civil War. He was involved in many a battle. He had become hardened to the battlefield. One day after a battle, when they had gained some ground, he sat relaxing with his men. And as they goaded each other, a brawl broke out amongst the men and there was a shot fired. And the shot hit Nelson in the chest. His men could see that he was badly wounded. They ran to his aid, and there he was lying, and the blood was flowing from him, and they sought to stem the flow of blood. And he said something, and they put their ear down and said, "What did you say? What did you say, General?" He whispered again, "Send for the minister. Send for the minister." In his teens, Nelson had no time for God. As a soldier, Nelson had no time for God. But standing on the verge of eternity, death was on his mind. And as the blood trickled from his wound, the only thing he could whisper was, "Send for the minister." Ah, the minister came. But by the time he came, Nelson had already slipped out into eternity. I'm old enough now to know that there are many people who think like that. They want to live life full of pleasure. They want to enjoy everything that the world can give to them. And when it comes to the end, cancer strikes, something happens in their home, send for the minister. Send for the minister. If you're not saved tonight, don't you worry about sending for the minister. Just you cry out to Christ. Tell him that you're a sinner. Tell him that you believe that he died for your sins at the cross. Tell him that you believe that in him you'll find everything that you need in time and for the whole of eternity. Tell him tonight you're sorry for sinning against him. Trust him and embrace him now. For you don't know how soon you, like him, might be swept out into eternity. The preacher's concept of life, the preacher's consideration of death, the preacher's conclusion about judgment. I'll bring this to a close very quickly, but listen to what the preacher says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I said tonight that the journey of life from the cradle to the grave. But I wouldn't want you going home tonight thinking that the grave's the end of the matter, because it's not. Death will come. It will come to all of us. But the Bible says there's an after this. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. After this. How many people have died? And they've died with this thought that when I get away from this pain, and I get away from this problem, and I just get away from all of these things, and for me, I'm just going to slip away in death. Yes, you are, and you're going to waken up your eyes in eternity. And I'll say this as lovingly and as graciously as I can. When you open up your eyes in eternity, you'll either be in heaven with Christ or you'll be in hell without Him. It doesn't end at the grave. There's an after this. There's a day when you'll be summoned to meet God. There's a day when you're going to have to give an account of yourself. Oh, the body may be buried. It might be cremated. It might not even be buried at all. But that's not the end. Man is a soul that will never die. And when his body returns to the dust, man must give an account of himself to God. Because that's what the preacher says. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If I could make this as simple as I can, do you know what the preacher's conclusion is? And it's the same right throughout the scriptures. You and I shall reap whatever we sow. We shall reap whatever we sow. What does that mean? It means if we've lived a life apart from God, living in sin, obsessed with pleasure, and setting our heart in all those things that the world has for us, that if we live a life without God and we die in that sin, we'll spend eternity apart from God. Heaven will never see. The Bible says we'll be lost. But if we live for God, with God at the center of our lives, with saving faith in Jesus Christ, we can look forward to heaven. And that day when we'll be in the presence of Him, He loved us, washed us from our sin in His own precious blood. Can I ask you tonight, what will it be as far as you're concerned? Have you learned lessons from life already? Are you determined you're going to do things your own way? See how it pans out. Generations come and go. From youth to age, they wiser go. Yet as they learn, they all relate. They learn their lessons just too late. And if you end up lost forever, you'll have learned your lesson too late. Too late. That's why tonight, listen to the words of the preacher, not the man in the pulpit, but the man who has had all the experience of his journey through life. For having tried everything, he says to your heart and mine, life is absolutely meaningless if it's lived without God. Meaningless if it's lived without God. Are you getting the best out of your life? I leave you to ponder that question. Now let's pray. Let's just quietly bow our heads this evening and our hearts in God's presence. Maybe you've been confronted tonight for the first time about these realities of life, death, and a judgment to come. If you don't know the Savior, you'd like to know him. Say it to me as you leave. Say to somebody who has brought you along to the meeting. But friends, sort out this matter as soon as you possibly can while God in his mercy and in his grace is speaking to your heart. If you live a life without him, it's futile. It will have a terrible ending. But if you trust Christ tonight, you'll start out for heaven and for home. You think about that. We praise you, Father, that there is life tonight for a look at the crucified one. We thank you that the Lord Jesus has come that we might have life and have it in all its abundance. Yet, our Father, we confess we're often stubborn creatures who go our own way, who do our own thing, and often are determined to live a life without God. Would you speak to us this evening, we pray? Be able to say, our Father, each of us, mine, 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 I know he is mine. Oh God, our Father, continue, we pray, to draw us out after yourself until we each one get the best out of these lives that you've given to us. And may we each one invest wisely for eternity, for Christ's sake.